Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. Well, we are honored today. We're going to be launching a brand new series called Faith, Hope, and Love. We were going to be doing something different for November, but my good friend Ken Costa was speaking to me on the phone, and then Chantel got a word from God too, that in this season, people need faith, they need hope, and in this divided world, they need love. And so we're going to be bringing you this season, this series till Christmas season, Faith, Hope, and Love. And we're just going to inject some faith and some hope and some love into our church. And I'm believing, I say this every time, but more often than not, it's true, this will be our finest series yet. And so wherever you are, hey, come on, let's do it. We do this in church. You can do it in home. We just stand to your feet because we always honor the word of God. We honor the person who brings the word. And Steve Morstan is bringing the word today. So come on, all over the city, the country, the county, put your hands together as Steve brings the word. God bless.
Thank you. Wow, you can grab your seats. It is actually my honor to get to speak to you on this very special day. It's actually been a really special week. It's our Heart for the House season, just to remind you, something that we're passionate about as a church, seeing our church go forward. If you haven't given yet, there's still an opportunity to do that. Hey, you're looking good. How's the coffee or the tea this morning? I hope you're rested and looking ready to go, full of faith. If you are new, if you're new to Soul Church, and maybe in this season you've been thinking about checking out God, finding out a bit more, and you've tuned in today, we want to extend the warmest welcome to you. As a church, we love to have guests. We love new people. And we've actually lined up something special for you. Next week, we're going to do what we call Soul Track. And it's a way for you to find out the heartbeat of our church. Now, we're going to do it online on Zoom for the first time. And our senior pastors, John and Chantel, are going to be hosting it. It's a chance to get up close and personal with them. So if you want to jump onto Soul Track, then put something in the chat. One of our team will give you the details, and that will be awesome. And of course, a big welcome to our Zoom wall, wherever they are. It's always good to have them with us, watching on. There they are. Look at that, Michelle and Rod and Lydia and Eli, not behaving themselves, but that's okay. Oh, he's talking about my little beard, all right? Now, John's man bun is gone, so I felt like we needed something new, all right? So my wife actually asked me to grow this. So I want on the chat, you choose. Do you like it or do you loathe it? All right, you can put something in. Mark Hollinger will tot it up and let me know whether it gets the vote. But anyway, we need to get into the word. I love what Pastor John said, our new series. It's taken from this verse in 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to thank you that in this season, we can put our faith in you and our hope in you because you love us so much. And so I pray that today you'd encourage us, you'd lift us, you'd show us something new about yourself. We give you these next few moments. We focus our minds and we open our hearts to your word and say, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, a very distinguished, I hear you all across Norwich, in fact, all across the world. Tuesday, the 11th of January, 2000, should have been one of the happiest days of my life. It was the due date for our first baby, the day that my beautiful Melody should have been born. Rach woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. The contractions were coming thick and fast, and so we headed into the NNN. She had her birth plan worked out. But ladies, how many know it doesn't always go to plan? The next 34 hours of labor were painful and traumatic. And after 34 hours of watching my wife go through labor because Melody was in the wrong position, Rachel lay there exhausted, the color literally drained out from her. And I could see in that moment how back in the day, women would die through childbirth. Now, this is a little bit embarrassing, but this is a circle of trust, yes. I literally, when I looked at her and thought, she could have died years ago, I burst into tears. I ended up in this cupboard crying. I mean, some help I was. Absolutely useless. But I pulled myself together. Eventually, because little Melody was getting distressed, Rachel went in for an emergency C-section, and then out came this beautiful baby girl with big, gorgeous eyes and a cone head. And I held her, loved her, and then Rach got her shit out, took Melody away for tests, and so I went home and I got a few hours of sleep. And then a few hours later, I went back in to the Norfolk and Norwich. I'd had a shower, I was clean, and I remember exactly where I parked. And I parked in the N&N, and as I got out of the car, I remember feeling the happiest I'd ever felt in my life. I went upstairs into the ward and I kissed Rachel. There was my little girl, 1 day old. And as I looked at her, I realized she had no idea just how much she was loved. Question. It's a question for you at home. Do you have any idea just how much you are loved by God? Maybe you're new to church, you're tuning in online and you thought God was like this or like that. Maybe a little bit angry. Maybe people say, man, if I went into church, the roof would fall in, because he's mad at me. Let me ask you that question. Do you have any idea just how much you are loved by God? Maybe you sat there and you've been in church for years. You've read the Bible. And you think you know how much God loves you. Maybe in this season, there's a little voice telling you that you've stuffed up, you've messed up, and it's saying, does God really love you? Or things that are going on in the world or in your life, and that little voice is saying, well, can God really love you with that going on? Let me ask you, do you have any idea how much God loves you? See, I thought I did. I thought I'd had this love thing nicely wrapped up. I mean, when I turned 40, Rachel will tell you, I made a decision to read 40 books on love. I read C.S. Lewis, I read Lewis Smeads, I read every expert on love. And I thought I could preach on it, teach on it, that I knew how much God loved me. But this week, doing my devotional, I read something and I saw a different angle. And it made me question, do I really understand how much God loves me? So you guys in the chat, you guys on the Zoom wall, are you okay to go on a little journey of discovery? All right, come on, who's going to come with me? We're going to start this journey in Psalm 17. If you've got your Bibles at home, if not, it's on the screen. And this passage in the Bible, it's one of three Psalms entitled A Prayer of David. He's praying because all kinds of stuff is going on. All right, in verse 9, he says, wicked enemies oppress me and deadly enemies surround me. Come on, anyone know what it's like when deadly enemies surround us? I think we all know. So this is a great psalm. And in the middle of this psalm, David writes this, Psalm 17, verse 7, show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you. But here's the verse I'm taking you to. So come on, eyes peeled. Keep me as the apple of your eye, and hide me under the shadow of your wing. Now that phrase, the apple of your eye, it jumped out at me. Because you never hear it in conversation, do you? Rachel has never said to me, I'm the apple of her eye. Shocking, I know, but I don't think I've ever said that to her either. It's kind of an old phrase. But what does it actually mean? So I started to investigate, to sleuth. The psalm was originally written in a language called Hebrew, like most of the Old Testament, and then it's translated into English for our Bibles. And that phrase is made up of two different words. You're going to see them on the screen. The first is ishon in Hebrew, which is translated apple. And the second word is ayin, which is translated eye. But if you look in many of your translations, you'll find some translated apple, but some use other words. Let me explain why that is. Because the word ishan can be interpreted three different ways. Number one, black. Number two, apple. Number three, little man or daughter. Now, let's go through these one at a time. So what about the first option, black? Ishan means black. Now imagine that if it said, keep me as the black of your eye. Imagine if they'd done that. Great, we're God's black eye. No, so most translators don't use the literal term black, but they do use the word pupil because it refers to the black, the pupil of your eye. And I like that. Keep me as the pupil. God's eye is on you. And I like that. There's great truth in that. But the second one is the word apple. And most translations, especially older ones, translate it as the apple of your eye. Let me explain why. It's an English idiom. It doesn't come from the Hebrew. It comes from the English phrase. It's not biblical. And in the Middle Ages, back in the day, they believed that literally your pupil was a black, round sphere. Right? And because back in the day, you didn't own spherical objects, what they would liken it to was an apple, because an apple was the round thing that most people could relate to. So it became the apple of your eye. Now, of course, your eye is probably one of your most important faculties. And so if it's at the center of your eye, it became known as something precious, something valuable. And for 35 years, I've read it that way, that God keeps me as the apple of his eye. Why? Because I'm valuable. I'm precious. His eye's on me. And I love that translation. It's a great, great translation. But now get ready for the exciting one. This is the thing that I saw this week, all right? So you're still with me in the chat. Let's see you. We've got Barbie with a sunflower. I love that. Anna Claudia and Tabitha. So get ready for this. Number three. The little man or the daughter. It literally can be, ishan can be, in some of your commentaries, you'll see that it says little man or daughter in God's eye. Because it can be either male or female. And when I read that, I thought, what the heck does that mean? All right, so Rach, if you can come up, I'm going to illustrate. Come on, chop, chop, darling. We haven't got all day. We've got people watching us here. Here we go. Give her a round of applause at home, all right? She's a lot easier on the eyes, but if you just stand there, just stay there. So when it says the little, now my daughter isn't here. If Melody was here, I would have used my daughter, but she's not. She's in Australia. They won't let her out, and they won't let me in. All right, so I'm not very happy with the Australian. In fact, you can't even go between different states, but that's another story. I'm not bitter, all right? But if Melody was here, I would have done it with her. But anyway, she's pretty beautiful. You'll do as a second choice, darling. All right. So, all right. So here's the little man or the little daughter in God's eye. Now, God doesn't need glasses. So for the purpose of this illustration, this is my daughter and I am God, just for the purposes of the illustration. You've got to get ready for this. This is amazing. So when it refers to the little daughter in God's eye or the little man, what it's referring to is, if Rachel was to come closer to me, she's my daughter, and she looks into my eyes, and she's close enough, she will see herself reflected in my eye. Can you see? Can you see yourself? Yeah. She can. But do you notice she's got to come really close to see herself in my eyes? And that's what it refers to. The little daughter in my eyes. Thank you, darling. Give her a round of applause. But what an incredible concept. Think about this. To see who you really are, you have to see yourself through God's eyes. To really understand how much you are loved, here's the key. You have to see yourself through God's eyes. That you are the little man, the little daughter in God's eye. Here's why we don't see ourselves as we really are. We don't see how loved we really are. Let me give you three reasons. Number one, we look through the wrong eyes. Some of you look at yourself through the eyes of social media. It's a world of perfect figures, airbrushed complexions, perfect families. And we compare our ordinary reality to everyone else's highlights reel, and we don't feel that we measure up. We look through the eyes of an imperfect father or authority figure. And we say the way they saw us or the things they spoke over us, and we allow that to frame who we really are. See, Steve, my dad didn't love me. He was absent. He hurt me. And that is framed the way you see yourself and your lovability. So we don't see how loved we are because we look through the wrong eyes, number one. Number two, we think our Heavenly Father looks at us the same way as our imperfect earthly Father looks at us. So we keep our distance. We put a wall up and we protect ourselves. We're worried that our Heavenly Father will be as harsh and judgmental as our earthly Father. We look through the wrong eyes. And then number three, we don't appreciate how loved we are because, listen to this, we don't get close enough to God to see who we really are. Did you notice how Rachel had to come close? You know, in a season like this, the enemy wants to do everything he can to keep you out of the presence of God, to keep you out of church, to keep you out of his word, because he knows that when you get close to God, you see how loved you are. So those are three reasons why we don't see ourselves. Now I want to flip it. Those of you watching on the chat, hope you're writing notes on those three, but those of you on the Zoom wall, now let me flip it. You say, how do I see the little man? How do I see the little daughter in God? How do I see who I really am and how loved I am? Three things. It's actually just the reverse of what I said. Number one, we've got to see ourselves as he sees us. You've got to come close. You've got to look carefully. Did you notice the song choices this morning? I didn't tell the team anything about my message. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. His eye is on the sparrow. God is saying it's time to see through my eyes. When you begin to read the word, you start to see yourself as you really are. Look at Proverbs 7, 1 and 2. My son or my daughter, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. And my law as the apple of your eye. You've got to see yourself not as the world sees you, but see yourself as God sees you. And he tells you in his word. Psalm 139 says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. How incredible is that? Ephesians 2:10, that's right, you listening at home, you in your car, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Romans 8:37, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Man, you got to see yourself. Make his word, his teaching as the apple of your eye. You're more than conquerors, Romans 8:37, through him who loved us. You're the little man. You're the little daughter in God's eye, and he loves you. It's only then will you start to understand how much you're loved. So that was number one. We've got to see ourselves as he sees us. But number two, when you look into the eyes of God, you begin to see him as he really is. Think about that. When you look, when you get close enough to God that you look in his eyes, how many know when you look into someone's eyes, you see who they really are? And we don't. We keep a distance. We think he's angry. We think he's judgmental. We think he's going to come down hard on us, so we keep our distance. Our guilt and our shame, because we've all done things wrong, haven't we? You little tinkers. We all have. But the story of the Bible is how God consistently and gradually and progressively reveals himself. Not as harsh and vengeful and judgmental, but as loving and kind and gracious. He does everything he can so we can see who he really is. Because only then do we discover who we really are. When you come close to him, not only do you see yourself, more importantly, you see how kind and loving he really is. Shakespeare, inspired by the Bible, wrote, "The eyes are the windows of the soul." Your soul is who you really are. How do you see a person's soul? You see them through the eyes, because the eyes are the window of the soul. It's who you really are. You look in someone's eyes, you see them. Question for those of you on the chat, those of you online, who was the first person to look into the eyes of God? I wonder whether you know. Let me give you a tip. It's in the book of Genesis. If you want to put the answers in the chat, let me reveal it to you. If we were to go back to the time of Genesis, something like 4,000 years ago, if you were to study the gods of the ancient world, you'll see that they were angry gods. They were often pictured with thunder and lightning, just waiting to unleash it on earth. Or they'd be pictured with bows and arrows, just waiting for humanity to step out of line, and they would rain down arrows of judgment. That's the world of Genesis. But God once started to unveil and reveal who he really was, that he's not like other gods. And he invites one man to come closer. Just as I invited Rachel, he gave Noah permission to come and look deep in his eyes. And what did Noah see? One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Genesis 6:8. It says, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." He didn't find anger. He didn't find judgment. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace speaks of love. It speaks of kindness. It speaks of patience. It's only as you start to understand the grace of God that you start to understand just how loved you are. You know, grace is undeserved. When I drove up on the 12th of January 2000 to the NNN, stepped out of the car park, walked up to that hospital ward, looked at my beautiful Melody. Can I let you into a little secret? She hadn't done anything to earn my love. She hadn't done anything to deserve my love. She was loved because love came from me. And religion has taught us this lie. It's taught us that you've got to earn love. You've got to deserve love. You've got to be good enough. But I want to bust open the lie of religion and say the truth is God loves you because God is love. Noah found grace in the eyes. You say, "Steve, I don't deserve it." No, you don't. You don't have to deserve it. You say, "I haven't earned it." You can't earn it. He loves you because God is
love. Do we really understand how much we're loved? That's why in Psalm 17, right before David uses the term, the little man or the little daughter of God's eye, look at what he says in verse 7. He says, show your marvelous loving kindness. It can't be found by you. It's got to be revealed by God because it comes from him. He said, will you show me? Because we don't understand. None of us do. Those of you guys on the Zoom wall, none of you have any idea. You may think you do. Dick and Joan, you've been going on this journey for a long time. Tracy and Andy, you might think you do. But David prayed, would you show me your loving kindness? That's why in Ephesians 3:18, Paul, who used to be a murderer, he used to kill Christians. He was the Osama bin Laden of his day. But in one moment, he met Jesus and he found grace. And he was known as the apostle of grace. And he prayed in Ephesians 3. It's like he's thinking, God, they don't get it in Ephesus. They don't understand it in Corinth. But in Ephesians 3, he says, he prayed that you would be able to understand with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of God which passes all understanding. Your mind can't grasp it. Only God can reveal it. And so Paul prayed, God, would you show them the height and the depth? Do we really understand how loved we are? And then number three, when you look into the eyes of God, you begin to see that God has got his eyes on you. Think about that. He's the God who owns the entire cosmos. But when you look into his eyes, you discover he's looking at you. Can you believe that he knows even the hairs on your head, which in my case isn't that many? He's noticed that they're receding. You get so close to God, you look in his eyes, you see that he's looking at you. He is powerful, but he's also personal. How amazing. Psalm 33, verse 18 to 19 says, watch this. God's eye is on those who respect him or fear him, some translations. The ones who are looking for his love. He's ready to come to their rescue in bad times. Come on, our nation is going through a difficult time, but here's the good news. God is looking at you. God is there for you. God sees you. Paula Cowell, God sees you. He's looking at you with eyes of love. My little girl, Melody, it's a bit frustrating if I'm honest. Now she's 20. I don't know whether we've got that picture. Got a picture that you'll see on the screen of me and Melody taken a year ago. It's the last time I saw her. We don't know when we're going to see her again. And it's hard enough being the other side of the world. But knowing you can't go in and she can't come out. And she's been doing great. She's been doing this whole season really well, but she lives in a granny flat with a couple, and they went away. She was left on her own, and she wasn't sleeping because she got a bit scared. And let me tell you, everything in me wanted to get on a plane and be there with her, but I can't. And then she's got tonsillitis, and it came back, and she wasn't well, and she started to miss us, and she was tearful. Me and Rach were both like, man, we just wanted to be with her. But we can't. Do you know what's amazing about God? Is he can. There's nothing that can stop him. When you're on your own, when you're doing it tough, there may be a lockdown on this earth, but there's not a lockdown from heaven, and he will be with you. He'll be at your side. He will hide you. He will keep you. He'll protect you. Psalm 17 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. hide me under the shadow of your wings. He can keep you. He can hide you. He can protect you. He holds you so close, you feel the warmth of his feathers and the beating of his heart. Are we starting to understand just how much God loves us? Maybe as the team comes, and Chantal, maybe we can sing that song again in a moment, Turn Your Eyes. So I want to encourage you, church, to turn your eyes, to come that little bit closer, to look into his eyes. One more story. Last week, if you were here in the building, you may remember when I led communion, told you the story of how my younger daughter, Mercy, let me tell you, when she was born, I felt that same love. When I looked into her eyes. And I think sometimes you wonder, how can you love a second like the first? Let me tell you, that same feeling was there. And maybe some of you feel that God doesn't love you like he loves other people, but he's God and he loves every one of you with that love. And last week I talked about how little Mercy, a few years ago, she broke her toe doing cartwheels. And this week I found a photo. I think the team have got it. This is her in Logan Hospital in Queensland. And she was in a lot of pain and she was being x-rayed at this point. Later the doctors came in and they said, we're going to have to break your toe again. And so they gave her some pills. They put a mask on her and they pumped some happy juice into her. And they said, Steve, I want you to look into Mercy's eyes and distract her, because we're going to break a toe at the other end of the bed. Let me tell you, when I looked into Mercy's eyes, knowing she was about to be broken, let me tell you what I felt. And some of you parents know how this feels. Everything in me wanted to get onto that bed and be broken in her place. I would have taken it so she could be whole. Come on, how many of you parents, put it in the chat. How many of you have felt that for your kids, that you would have taken the pain for them? Do you know how loved you are? There's a verse in the Bible, probably the most famous verse amongst Christians. It's John 3:16. It says, for God so loved. It's like, are you getting this? Do you know how loved you are? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Say, Steve, what does that mean? Jesus chose to come into this world to take your pain. He climbed onto the bed. He said, I'll take it. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He did it for you. For God's so loved. Do we really understand how much he loves us? Faith, hope, and love. When you realized how much God loves you, it actually takes faith to believe that he would do all of that for you. Friend, that he would love you that much. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your past. Takes faith, a step of faith, to believe he loved you that much. And when you take that step of faith in his love, it gives you a great hope, an eternal future with God. It's faith, hope, and love working together. We're going to sing this song just a couple of times. I'm going to ask you not to tune out. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus. I want you to forget where you are, forget who you're with. I want you to listen to this song and then I'm going to come back up. Would you come to Jesus and look into his eyes for a moment? If you want to get right with God, if you want to have a new start, even if you've drifted away from God, he still loves you. I would love to pray a prayer for anyone because it's time to look into his eyes again. So come on, why don't we turn our eyes upon Jesus? Amen. Friend, the presence of God is in this room and I'm believing is in the room where you are, in the car where you are. And in this moment, he's inviting you to come closer, to look into his eyes, to see just how much he loves you, to feel his grace, his forgiveness. Maybe you're brand new to church. You never knew just how much God loved you. You thought he was angry and judgmental. Friend, he loves you. You say, Steve, how can I get right with God? You say a prayer. It'd be my greatest honor to pray with you in this moment. Maybe if you're honest, you've drifted away from his love. And you know you need to come back. He still loves you, friend. So why don't you join me in this prayer? It's a private moment between you and God. I'm going to invite you to put your hand on your heart. And as I pray, you pray this in your heart, wherever you are, in your heart. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love for me. I don't deserve it and I can't earn it. But right now, I look into your eyes. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. Would you come into my heart and give me a new start? Now I want to live for you with your help and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I'm believing it's a life-changing moment. I prayed that at 13. And we want to help you. You've just taken the first step closer to him. We want to help you stay close to him. So on your screens, you'll see that we're inviting you to let us know that you prayed that prayer. Just send us an email or call us at the church this week. We would love congratulate you. If you were here in this room, we'd be celebrating you. We'd be clapping, we'd be cheering, we'd be going nuts. We are just as excited. A couple of other things you can do is on there you'll see YouVersion. It's a Bible, it's an electronic Bible. You can download that and start to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Find out just how much God loves you. It'll help you. God's word is powerful. And then, of course, keep tuning in. Keep learning more about him. But most important thing, let us know in the chat. There's something about making a decision, going public. Tell someone. Put it in the chat if you need to. It'll be the greatest decision. As I finish and hand over to Pastor John, do you know just how much you love? Thank you so much, Pastor John.
Amazing. Come on, put some love in the chat. Put some emojis up. How good was that? Do you know how much he loves you? And about you, but when Steve speaks, it just resonates in my heart. And you know, I've been following Jesus for, I don't know, pretty much all my life, but the reality is you can never ever stop reminding yourself about how much he loves you. Because you can kind of remember then some disappointments, some distractions kick in and you forget I'm loved. And so in this church, we don't want to beat you up, we want to build you up. We want to build you up in love. We don't want to beat you up with all the challenges and needs around us. We want you to come to church and tune in and you feel like, wow, I feel refreshed. Because the love of God that will bring change in your life. It's the love of God that will lift your spirit. And so thanks for being with us. Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.